T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
Good morning.
I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Tonight is game two between the Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks. I think one of the things that we will talk about today, if we can extend this topic out for time, is if you're the Raptors, what do you do tonight? If you're the Raptors and game one went the way that it did, where you shot very well, you obviously got a little tired. You play your starters quite a bit. You just came off game seven, but you outshot the Bucks, and the Bucks were still able to win that game, essentially steal that game. So as they go into game two tonight, if Chuck and Winkler are talking from a Raptors standpoint, how are we trying to believe that our team's going to win tonight?
Well, I think a couple of those guys need to play better. Danny Green didn't play very well. Marc Gasol, he's better than a six points a game. I know he's not going to score 30 with them, and he's not going to do what he did with Memphis, but he's got to be a better offensive contributor than he was on Wednesday night when he was like 2 for 11. So Danny Green and Gasol got to play better. But you don't think that Lowry is going to have the performance he's going to have. You know, Leonard's going to be Leonard, although he's quiet in the fourth quarter. I thought Siakam didn't play well. When I understand, he had a little banged up elbow in the first quarter. He had ice on it in the locker room after the game. Maybe that was bothering him a little bit, but Siakam, I think, didn't play his best game. So there's a couple of guys on that team with better performances. You know, as you mentioned, the tired thing, you know, they're racking up some big-time minutes, and that's no secret. You know, some of those guys, it's not exactly they have a young team over there. You know, Lowry is 33 years old. He's been around a little bit. And, you know, some of those guys are racking up some major minutes, and they've gone deep in series now. At least this last series they did. You know, their bench gave them nothing the other night. So there's a few areas that Toronto has to be better in if they're even going to win a game in the series, Bart.
Siakam's probably going to be in line for most improved player in the NBA. I don't know if a lot of people know much about him. He's a very good player. He was up for, at least in the discussions and the conversations that everybody was having about the All-Star game, he was up for the spot that Chris Middleton ended up taking. So he is going to be somebody that, even as if the Raptors lose Kawhi Leonard and, you know, their contract, I was looking at some of their salary cap stuff last night. They're a mess. They've got some problems. If Kawhi does leave, they're paying Fred VanVleet about $10 million per. Norman Powell's making about $10 million per. They're in kind of a tricky situation, but Pascal Siakam might be the guy that they're going to be forced to build around if Kawhi does in fact leave, which everybody we asked from Toronto, they have no idea. And I don't think there's been any indication either way. He could stay as easily as he could leave. So it's a mystery with Kawhi Leonard. Game two tonight. You think the Deer District was crazy on Wednesday. You got a weekend game. You got a Friday night. You got people off of work now tomorrow. So I would expect tonight to be just as crazy, if not exponentially more so, down in the Deer District tonight.
Yeah, you know, those places get full, from what I understand, a few hours before game, already at 4 o'clock for a 7:30 tip. People are filing in, getting ready to pregame on a weeknight. And, okay, today's a Friday, so I probably maybe 3 o'clock today, or maybe 2 o'clock, or 1 o'clock, or maybe in a couple of hours. People getting ready. But a Friday night at the Deer District.
Or maybe right now.
Yeah, maybe they're camping out last night. Now, last night,
as we do on the show on Fridays, we have Bloody Marys on Friday mornings.
We do.
The show.
We do. I haven't mixed mine yet, but I'm going to, that's getting underway here during the 6:15 break. But yeah, Bart, I think
they're going to finish mine on the drive-in.
They're going to. I could go for one. Yeah, those are those are good. You like those? I'm a big fan.
I can do one. I hate tomato juice.
Me
but
too.
I get down with the Bloody Mary.
I you know, tomato juice straight is just awful.
Gross.
Just terrible. Mm-hmm. But the Bloody Mary thing, I'm good with that. If you know, legitimately, if we were going to have a couple in front of us here, a little vodka, I'm good to go.
But if I have one, sometimes it's really good, and you think, all right, I'll have another. And I never finish it. Well, I never finish number two.
I always look at it as too good to stop now. I mean, you can't just have one. You know, we got a four-hour show.
Oh, I switch to something else.
Well, I
can just do one Bloody.
We have a four-hour show. You know, what are you going to do for the rest of the 3 hours and 45 minutes if you just have one?
Yeah, you got to keep that buzz going.
Got to keep it going, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why a friend of mine will say, oh, why don't you just come out for one? And I'll say, what am I going to do for the next 3 hours after that? No, I can't just come out for one. That's not going to happen. So.
Yeah, keep that buzz going. I've pretty much been drunk since game five.
Hey, this is Milwaukee.
Just keep it going.
We like to go out. We like to party a little bit here. And on game day, that's what it is. But you know, yeah, like I've always told you, though, I don't want to be
too. It's MF and game day, man.
It is. I don't. You know, though, if I'm watching the game, if I'm going as a fan, I don't want to be blasted or a concert where I can't, you know, I don't know what's going on. I want to be able to watch a game. But nothing wrong with having a few drinks, especially if you're not driving. A few drinks and heading down there and having a good time tonight. It's a Friday night, and of course, by all means, afterwards, you know, have yourself, you know, I mean, enjoy the game. You know, the Ubers are out there. The Lyfts. Take those Lyfts, man. Don't take any chances. There's cops everywhere. They were on horses the other night. I saw, when you were down there, for that last series, did you see the horses?
I did not see any horses.
I saw the cops with horses everywhere, man. Stay away from those horses.
What's the purpose?
I don't know. I don't. Can they go things places that cars? Because if you got to chase somebody, where do you leave the horse?
Yeah, you're not gonna. I mean, I think you can outrun a horse, can't you?
Oh no! You can't outrun a horse. But I mean, is a cop gonna come running after you on a horse?
Dude, horses used to be the main way of travel in this country. Isn't that wild?
Well, it's still the way we get around in Lemira a little bit. No kidding. I was driving down this country road. like last year, and I was behind an implement, you know, farming implement.
Yeah.
And that was a pain in the ass, and I understand it. But they just, you know, they're going like 5 miles an hour. I finally passed him, and then I was behind a horse. And I was like, what am I doing here?
Yeah,
what the hell? What am I doing? I grew up in Greendale. What am I doing in Lemira?
It's time to move to the big city, player.
No, I know. It's back to back to the big time. So, but yeah, they're on horses. But yeah, what are they doing with the horse? What are they doing with the horse if they got to chase after somebody?
Long story short, game two tonight, Bucks Raptors down at Fiserv Forum. Tim's in Fredonia, 799-1250 is the number to reach us. Timmy knows that number pretty well. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tim.
Gentlemen, I never had a bad drink. They're all usually pretty good. I mean, I'm not a martini guy, but other than that.
You get a new phone? Sound terrific.
I'm definitely good with a martini.
Yeah, the dirty ones, Chuck, with like the olive juice, that's pretty good.
You know, I like the chocolate martini. I like the chocolate ones, man. The chocolate ones go down too smoothly.
Guys, my son graduates tomorrow in media. Anyway, you got a thing lined up for him? He's trying.
No. Okay, you know what? Small market. Small market.
Well,
don't be trying to get here. A small market.
He had a phone interview with a TV station, a WEAU. They have a lacrosse affiliate for Fox, and they offered him an MMJ, or a multimedia and a reporter for $13 an hour. Yeah, I'm going to pay rent and school loans on $13 an hour.
No, hey, take that. Take it.
Take it, man.
Take that.
You're looking at two guys who had to do those sort of things. No, take it.
Well, how'd you eat?
You got to find a way. You're just like a starving actor. You got to find another job. Seriously, man. I worked at the YMCA. I work at the South Shore YMCA, for crying out loud.
Tim, you know what $26,000 a year in lacrosse gets you?
Yes. No.
Take that job.
You don't look long term. You look at it. You go there, and it's like going to school another year.
Take that job.
Two.
Craigslist the place over the summer. Tell him to keep applying. And if he finds another job, get out of there.
That's the whole problem, man. These kids, you know, they expect to jump right into it right
Take
away.
Take that job.
Yes.
Right out of college.
Be thankful he got a job offer.
Take that job.
Timmy.
He can't afford to make his damn bills.
Well, what does he expect to do? What does he expect? To jump right into Milwaukee? Who does that?
15 or 16, he'd have probably taken it. $13 an hour, dude.
Tim, that's $26,000.
Hey. Tim.
My first job was in La Crosse. I made $9 an hour. Mm-hmm. I had an apartment.
I made $4.10 an hour. You know what?
He can keep applying while he's got a job, but otherwise he's going to sit on his ass at your house.
This is, you know what? You got to build your pipes up and you got to start working at it in the small market. This is, we all do this.
It's a 2-year contract. Yeah, you know, it's a 2-year contract.
Yes. Absolutely. He's going to, it's work experience. He needs it. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Tim. No, you tell him he's going to apply at our radio station. I'm going to take out the Schwantz and pee right on the resume. Because he's not ready to come here.
Wow.
No, because I don't care. He's not ready to come here. I've never heard of him. Full-time, he ain't ready to come here. Just no disrespect. But, hey, you know what? These kids, they want to start here, and I'm like, no way.
Chuck, I'm all for that. I get all that. I understand what you're saying. It's just the financial
Bart,
thing. If it was somewhere closer, it'd have been jumped all over.
Bart worked in La Crosse. I worked in Eau Claire in Watertown. Horvey, he worked at some dumpy town in Iowa. Yeah, we all paid our dues.
You know, the people talking about what the Bucs need to change. There's one thing they need to change for tonight's game. You know what that is, guys?
What?
Make some shots early. That's all you got to do. I mean, Jesus Christ. What were they, 2-for-14 to start off the game?
Yeah.
You can't have that against Golden State. You're going to get your ass kicked because they're not going to miss shots.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're going to be down by 25 at halftime. That's the only thing the Bucs need to change. Just make some shots early in the game, and they'll win by 20 tonight. Bart, you going down there?
No.
It's a weekend game, and you're not going down.
Yeah, I'm a weeknight partier. I rest on the weekends.
Yeah, he's on his couch.
Unreal.
No, in all sincerity, Tim, about, you know, with your kid, tell him to get some experience in a small market. But, yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. And, yeah, making some shots tonight. All you can do is coach up these guys up to play hard.
Tell him, hey, okay.
Yeah, he don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear it.
Tim, I'm sure he's got his radio on. Tim, give your son our contact, and we will talk to him.
Yeah, and tell him, yeah, you just, it doesn't happen. Bob Costa started in St. Louis, but he started in the big market. That's, you know, that just doesn't happen. These guys who are on TV here in town, Tim Van Voren, Peoria, Illinois. Who else is
the overnight sensation?
Needles was in Wausau.
That success doesn't happen overnight.
Craig Kishon in Eau Claire.
BA was in the depths of Texas,
yes,
doing minor league ball for 10 years before anybody paid him any attention.
Matt LaPay was doing high school football in Ohio.
Yeah, you and I are doing this show right now,
trying to bust out. We're still trying to bust out. No, this is...
I'm just kidding.
No. Let's face it, man. It's we get these...
Psych!
We do. We get resumes and tapes and all that, but damn, these guys, you know, go to Wausau.
A job offer right out of
Wausau's
college?
I thought Wausau La Crosse is a big place to start. You know, usually it's got to be smaller than that, but I guess TV, Wausau, La Crosse, but...
La Crosse is like Market 138. That is a great place to start.
And yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But if you go there and put your time and you do a good job and, you make that your college, you know, like your work experience, go there, maybe wait tables or whatever. I know these guys don't want to hear that. And put in your work and who knows what's going to happen. You do a good job, you're not going to be there forever.
26 right out of college for media.
Oh, God. Sign me up.
Okay, I'll take 26 now.
I knew you'd say that. Yep. Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. When I was in college, people want to hear that, but I was making $4.10 an hour.
Yeah.
Doing, Saturday morning sportscast.
Well, that got us all riled up.
Oh, it does. Yeah. But... yeah, just a little lesson there. And Tim's a veteran guy, but he doesn't. He would know that you gotta pay your dues, my friend.
You gotta pay your dues.
You do. And there'll be some kids don't want to hear it.
22 years old. You ain't gonna be Ted Koppel.
Kids don't want to hear that, but it's true.
It's Chuck and Winkler.
Look at us three guys.
Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. The Brewers putting in their dues. They get another victory yesterday. We'll talk about it next.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import.
Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know what? Brewers can wait. I think we're all still fired up about Tim and Fredonia's kid.
You know what? This is our fault as parents. It is. Timmy and I are about the same age. You know, this is our generation helped create this. You know, give this kid too much.
For a media job right out of college?
Yeah.
In lacrosse?
But you should expect that.
Where 26 is basically 40?
Here's where these professors don't tell these kids maybe that this is what you're signing up for. You know, maybe in the business world, you're starting at a higher rate, obviously.
Yeah, you're an engineer, you graduate college, you can go make 90 right away.
Yeah.
That's the way, that's their business.
Or a teacher or something like that. But
media?
No.
Yeah, if you get double digits, anything.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, if you're a kid at Marquette or UWM and you think you're going to be a sports writer at this point of your life, no way. Don't even go there. You know, you got to do it all. Radio, TV, and newspapers. I was just talking this with Matt Velasquez the other day at the Pfizer as we were walking out. I said, man, you got to do it all. We're one combined media. No longer is it print media and electronic media. We're all the same these days. All the same.
Tell them.
Yeah, it is. All the same.
Tell them, Frames.
You got to get, yes, and get that experience like we all did. Get it and make your mistakes by reading the obituaries in Wisconsin Rapids.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. So the Brewers have been good as of late. They scuffled a little bit against the Cubs, then lost money to the Phillies, but just took the last three of that series. And the Brewers, again, kind of getting forgotten with all the attention focused on the Milwaukee Bucks. But a good game yesterday. They went 11-3. Christian Yelich with a couple of home runs. Big problem, though. Keston Hira 0-for-5 betting 167. Is it time to end the Keston Hira experiment? 799-1250.
Yeah, he's terrible. Yeah, no. Where's Travis Schoen? You need him. Stayed over at my girlfriend Shannon's parents' house yesterday, and I came in.
We should clarify that we're joking.
We are.
I think it's clear, but
I think people get it.
You never know.
I came in yesterday, and
not about the advice though. That's not a joke.
I came in and walked in about 8 o'clock, and her parents were watching the game, you know, the replay of the game. And I walked in, your dad goes, "Up, Brewers up 7-3," and I said, "Oh man, really? But they're gonna win again." How many homers does Yelich have? Oh, he's got one already. I said, bet you he's getting another one. You know? I said, that game was played. It's the final. It's 11-3.
Couldn't tell? It was still bright at nighttime?
No, because they were flipping back and forth from like TV to the game, and you know, they were flipping around a little bit. And I think they just had kind of tuned in for a couple of at-bats and flipping around, watching. And I said, nope, that was played earlier today.
Moustakas homered, Grandal homered, Yelich with two.
I said, I didn't mean to ruin it for you. So, yeah. But, Yelich, a couple of booming shots. And how about that, Bart? They take the final three and against Philadelphia. Not exactly a slouch team, but, win three in a row against anybody on the road is in baseball is pretty good.
Zach Davies was good again. One earned run on his line today. He did allow some runs, but there was an error. Yesterday, Arcia had the double air game, right? Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
I'm so confused about when.
On the same play?
Yeah, on the same play. All right, yesterday. That was yesterday. It feels like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
One, because it was a day game. Two, I don't know why. So Davies allows just one earned run, six innings. He leads, in case you didn't know this, all of baseball with a 1.54 ERA through nine starts and 52 innings pitched. When you want to judge a pitcher by ERA and say, who's the best in baseball? The answer to that question, Chuck, is Zach Davies.
Who would have guessed? We didn't even think this guy was going to make the rotation.
That was down to him and Chase.
Yeah.
Josh Tomlin.
Guy you couldn't trust last year towards in September or the postseason.
Josh Fields.
And here we go. He's better. Came in as the five starter, and I was a little worried about that guy early in the season. Do you feel it all when he's on the mound? Do you feel better than you did back in midsummer last year?
I feel good when he's pitching good, and I feel not good when he's not pitching good.
But he's pitching good.
So when he's going to start again in 5 days, I'm going to feel good.
But don't you keep thinking that Chu's going to drop that one of these outings? Because he gave up that first inning homer to Segura, and I thought, okay, this isn't going to be one of those games for Davies, but he turned it around.
No, he's all about command.
Yeah.
And if he's got it, he's good, and if he doesn't, he's not.
Yeah.
And right now, whatever he did in the offseason and whatever he's doing right now, he seems to have it. Zach Davies is the anchor on this pitching staff right now. I also saw this. Kyle BrewerFan28 tweeted this yesterday. Entering yesterday's game, the Brewers had a 2.86 ERA in May. It was the fifth best in all of baseball to this point. That's around when they got Gio Gonzalez. So you can look at when the Brewers got Gio Gonzalez is when the starting pitching started to turn around, not just for him to stabilize some starts, but I wonder if he's had an impact on some of these younger guys as well. I mean, the pitching was the one main thing we were talking about with this Brewers team, and it looked like it was in dire straits. It was bad. They were struggling. And now, in the month of May, maybe quietly because of everything that's going on with the Bucks. But the Brewers' pitching has been very, very good. And that Zach Davies stat where, again, he leads baseball with a 1.54 ERA, better than anybody in this game. Think of a good pitcher. Zach Davies has a better ERA than them right now. He's dependable. He's reliable. He had a couple of nice hits yesterday, including a double. So he produced at the plate. But Davies, yeah, he's a bit underrated right now, I think, in baseball and even in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, the two guys you mentioned, they're Gonzalez and Davies, have been very, very good. And Chassin pitches tonight. Yeah, but Chassin got off to the slow start. He's pitched well.
They've all pitched well in the last few weeks.
But, I mean,
Woodruff's pitching well.
In his last three starts, he's been very good, and he gets the ball in the opener tonight. But got to keep it going in Atlanta. And, you know, the Cubs have lost two in a row here. They got beat in Cincinnati again last night after having their early lead. So the Brewers back within a half a game of the first-place Cubs.
I think Zach Davies, and this is going to be our poll question today. It's our final day to win Summerfest Power Passes, where you can win 11 days worth of Power Passes. So you and whoever you want to bring get to go to Summerfest every day, no charge. You can win those passes today, one person at random. But we're asking you, who is the most underrated sports figure in the whole state of Wisconsin? So the whole state of Wisconsin sports figure, whether it's coach, whether it's frames, whether it's a player, whoever, who's the most underrated sports figure in the state of Wisconsin. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Use the hashtag CWTickets, and we'll give away that pair of Power Passes by 10 o'clock today.
Just present, right? Not from past, but just present,
right
present
now.
Day?
Present. Who's the most underrated right now in the state?
You know, I mean, Davies is definitely pitched. I mean, I would never say Davies is underrated because, you know, he didn't pitch well last year. And there's been times, and he won 17 games a couple of seasons ago, but he had a lot of offensive support, too, and he did pitch well. But, I mean, the ERA is, he's pitched the best he's ever pitched, the way he's going right now. But I got to think of that a little bit. That's a good question.
Yeah, we can circle back to that. I'll read you some of the answers coming in right now. Brewer fan says, I still think it's Lorenzo Cain. He's one of the best center fielders in the game, and the defense is unreal, needs to get that gold glove. Brian says Jake Kumerow will be the next big thing. That's right on the borderline where I cannot tell if that is a joke or if that's a serious answer. Eric Bledsoe is the answer for Alex. Michelle says Craig Counsell. Whatever he does as manager to keep these guys overperforming while having fun is nothing short of genius. And Ryan Horvat of the show says Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I thought Ryan Horvat was going to say Ryan Horvat. I mean, those are good answers there.
Ryan Horvath.
There was a guy I know at lacrosse named Horvath. So would you say? Did you think of one?
Oh no, we're gonna keep you in suspense.
I think it's somebody at the Bucks.
So keep your app on, keep your dial right here because sometime by 10 o'clock you'll find out who Bart thinks the most underrated is.
I would say, you know, the guy who said Kane. You know, Kane, he's just like Mr. Dependable. You put him in a lineup, he's not going to hit you 320, but he's going to hit you 270, hit a home run now and then, and definitely underrated as a defender out there. How he does not have a gold glove with Milwaukee yet. You know, the home runs he takes away, he covers ground, he plays it so well out there. Kane is definitely underrated as a defender out there.
So most underrated sports figure could be manager, could be player, could be whatever. Mine, I brought up Zach Davies. That's why we're doing this question. But there was another one I thought of yesterday, and I forgot who I thought of. So that's clearly the winner because I'm underrating them. I can't even remember who I thought of.
Okay.
Because when we put this question together, I thought, okay, mine is Zach Davies and then this other guy.
I thought maybe you'd say...
And I can't think of the other guy.
I thought you'd say Middleton.
Middleton came in here.
Yeah, but I thought that's what you would say. I thought you would go with mids because I know you've been on the mids train all year.
I am on the mids train.
You know what I like on the Bucks, a guy who I think is undervalued, maybe he is. I love Mirotić. I love Mirotić. I mean, Mirotić, you know, couldn't guard
Mrotić.
Mrotić, somebody called him yesterday on the show. You know, he couldn't guard a light standard, but I like him. I love Mirotić. I want him back on the team. I think Mirotić is somewhat. I thought you know, Brook Lopez. Coming here, the Bucks got him so cheap, and I thought, man, that's awfully inexpensive for that guy. I've always liked Brook Lopez, not putting up the numbers he did earlier in his career, and kind of refined his game a little bit. But I think Lopez is another guy. But I think we all love him here and want him to stay too.
Matt tweets in Barry Alvarez.
Oh, geez,
wrong show.
Maybe did you say overrated or undervalued?
Okay, that was it. That
wrong,
was it.
Wrong topic.
I got a tweet here. We got it from Casey, and we got one from Brewman, and we got one from Robert. The other guy I was thinking of was John Horst. Great article written on him in Yahoo, which we'll touch on maybe sometime next hour. But I'm going to go with John Horst.
The way he's kind of flown under the radar.
Yeah.
If John Horst walked through the Deer District tonight, nobody would recognize him.
No, he'd probably get served a Moscow Mule.
Yeah, well, don't do that. Don't do that. Not from what I heard from last time. I didn't have any problems on Wednesday night. Wednesday seemed good. But, yeah, Horst right now has quietly constructed a championship-level team.
So we'll read some of those from time to time. We'll talk more about that maybe a little bit next hour. We've got plenty to do yet before 7. Ben Golliver, Washington Post. We'll check in with him, get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs as they stand now, including what Toronto should do tonight to try to beat Milwaukee. And then we're going to do... I went to an elementary school last Friday, and I had kids ask me questions, and I recorded them. So I'm going to have you answer the questions the kids asked me.
Okay.
Well, we'll do that a couple times today. It'll be a special kids edition of 5 for Frame.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
A couple times today, and we'll do that the first time in about 15 minutes. It's Chuck and Weichler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Bucks coverage throughout the show brought to you by the Q Club of Wisconsin, your home to watch all the playoff action while enjoying their huge indoor game room on Facebook or the Q Club of WI.com. We go to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben Golliver, one of our favorite guys to talk to in terms of the NBA, host of the Open Floor podcast and from the Washington Post. As we got to figure out what Toronto needs to do and all that kind of stuff, he joins us. Ben, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. 108-100, the Bucks win against to Raptors. With the Bucks shot poorly most of the night, still got the job done on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a crushing loss for Toronto, to be honest. You know, coming out of that last series, to me, the biggest X factor coming into these conference finals was just the offensive balance from Toronto. Their game 7, Kawhi Leonard was incredible, but he took 39 shots and a bunch of his sidekicks were just kind of slinking into the background, not really wanting to step forward and be assertive shooters. I thought to start game 1, Toronto got exactly what it wanted from Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, a couple of the bench guys, Pascal Siakam, and they were coming out shooting assertively, taking the three-pointers at the top of the key that the Bucks are usually willing to concede, and they were red hot. And I think for Milwaukee to withstand that, to sort of learn on the fly from what it's like getting punched in the mouth by Boston last series, and then just basically to gut it out down the stretch with great defense and some three-pointers from Brook Lopez, it was really impressive. I mean, if I'm Toronto, especially looking at how many minutes they played their main guys in game one. That's not only kind of a demoralizing loss because you actually played pretty well early and gave it away, but I think it's also an exhausting loss too. And one thing to look at going forward in this series, I mean, you know, Giannis is just, you know, at his physical peak, and some of these guys that he's going against, whether it's Lowry, Marc Gasol, you know, some of these guys who are going to be playing help defense and trying to slow him down are just older. They're more liable to wear down. They're coming off a 7-game series against Philadelphia. And I think that's a huge matchup advantage for Milwaukee.
You know, when we were predicting the series, we were, you know, we're feeling confident with how the Bucks have been playing. Now 9-1 in the postseason. So whether it was Bucks in 4 or Bucks in 5 or Bucks in 6, the consensus around here was they're not going to lose this series. You don't lose 4 times to the Raptors the way the Bucks are playing. That was a game that the Raptors could have and probably should have got. So if you are Toronto, how do you come back in game 2? How do you beat the Bucks 4 times out of the next 6 games?
Yeah, well, I think for sure we know they've got to, you know, either be close or win game 2, because otherwise the confidence stuff is going to start to set in. You know, that's one thing about this Raptors organization over the last years. They're always flirting with mental fragility, right? They're always on the brink of a collapse or somebody checking out or not, you know, being, you know, completely ready for the moment or crumbling under the pressure. I mean, these are things that have dogged this franchise for a long time. So again, that's why it was so promising for Kyle Lowry to come out and hit 7 3-pointers. I mean, this is a guy who's really no-showed in multiple series, and he steps up and does it. You know, if you're looking at X factors for Toronto, I think it's Pascal Siakam. I mean, he played very well early in that game. He obviously had the really big, you know, poster dunk everybody saw, but he was also just shooting the ball confidently, moving well. He disappeared a little bit down the stretch. That's been an issue for him too in these playoffs. You know, when the moment gets tight, he's still a pretty young, unfinished player. He is obviously a most improved player candidate this season, but he's still kind of getting himself comfortable in the NBA game. I think some of that lack of comfort is showing in some of these late game moments. They're going to need more from him. The other thing, too, is, you know, Kawhi Leonard barely shot the ball in the fourth quarter. I think he had 2 points. I think they were free throws in the entire fourth quarter. I understand Milwaukee is, you know, trying to do everything they possibly can to make his life miserable, and I thought Chris Middleton did a great job defensively, but Kawhi Leonard's got to be better than that. And we saw against Philadelphia, look, if he's going to go down, he's going to go down shooting. He took 39 shots in that Game 7 win over the Sixers, and I think if they get into another rut like they got into during that fourth quarter in Game 1, you're going to see Kawhi Leonard try to go into takeover mode.
Well, with Kawhi, Middleton and Ed Brogdon did a nice job on him. What they do is they overplay him, so they force him to go left. And, I mean, he's still a great player, but I think the Bucks' MO against him is just overplay him, so he's got to go to his left-hand side.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, Kawhi Leonard's a phenomenal player, but he's not a perfect player. I don't think he's the world's best distributor. As you mentioned, he much prefers going right than left. I mean, look no further than his game winner, right? Didn't he take a really roundabout route to get to his right, going
sure
around
did.
Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, yep, to kind of get to that dominant side? It's funny how those things kind of play out. It's almost like, you know, playground-style basketball, right? But Milwaukee's very disciplined, very smart, and they just do a great job with their defensive game plans, trying to take away the easy stuff around the basket. You know, Kawhi did not shoot the ball very well from outside last night. He got some stuff going in the mid-range, but I think if you're Toronto, you're going to live with that. You know, all in all, for Milwaukee, I think it was, you know, an A effort defensively. And, you know, people might circle Middleton's, you know, offensive output and say, okay, well, he really struggled. He didn't have such a great game. But look, if you can limit Kawhi Leonard to a B or a B-plus throughout this series, it's going to be done quick. You know, Toronto, if they're going to win this series and actually kind of come back out of this 1-0 hole, this deficit, and do this thing, it's going to be because Kawhi Leonard drags them there with, you know, A-plus type play. And I think, you know, give Milwaukee's on-ball defenders credit for preventing that in game one.
Talking with Ben Golliver, Washington Post Open Floor Podcast.
Do you feel, obviously, with Golden State, you know, you sense them and you take their temperature, and they're a championship flavor team. I don't think Toronto's there. Do you think Milwaukee is championship flavor?
They're the biggest threat left to Golden State. There's no question about it. You know, I picked the Warriors to win the finals before the playoffs started. Nothing has really happened to shake me from that. Obviously, Durant's health is going to be the big question mark. If you're telling me Milwaukee gets to play Golden State without Durant, that series gets really, really, really interesting. But the finals is a different beast, you know, and in terms of just the attention, the amount of media, the pressure, the over-analysis that goes into every single game. This was kind of a routine game one win, frankly. Like, everybody was just kind of like calm afterwards, not a big deal. There's no such thing as a routine finals win, right? I mean, you've got LeBron James going out there with Cass after certain games, you know, throwing chairs when J.R. Smith makes a silly, decision late in the game. I mean, everything is just ramped up in that situation. And Golden State is by far the most experienced team in the league at coping with those kinds of distractions, those kinds of headaches. So it would be a monumental task for Milwaukee to get past them, especially if Durant's back. But to me, they're the only team left that has a chance. I don't think Portland has a chance. And as you mentioned, I don't think Toronto has a chance either.
Ben Golliver, you can find his work, Ben Golliver, on Twitter, also at the Washington Post. Brought to you by our Bucks coverage, which is presented by Hupie and Abraham. Injured, call Hupie and Abraham. Voted best, rated best year after year. Visit Hupie.com today. For a while, it looked like Golden State may be tested. We'll touch on that a little bit next hour. Before we do anything, including give you away another $1,000, five for frames, where kids ask the questions. It's next on The Fan.
It's time to go inside the mind of Chuck Freeman.
Ugh, it's gross.
That's a scary thought. It's time for Five for Freeman. Five burning questions for Chuck Freeman. This is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Had the I will say honor and privilege of talking to some kids at Highland View Elementary in Greendale a week ago today. And what I did was kind of show them some things about our job and talk to them about what it takes to be in radio a little bit. I find out that the kids like more not talking about this part of the job, but talking about the covering part of the job. Athletes we get to meet, places we get to go.
Sure.
That's what the kids seem to be really most excited about. So what I did was I opened it up for a Q&A, and I said, record into this recorder and ask me a question, and then I played it back through my computer, made the voices a little funny, you know, because kids.
Like to goof around?
Yeah. And so I have some questions, and instead of me answering them, which I did a week ago, I thought that you could answer some of these from the kids over at Highland View Elementary again in Greendale.
Okay.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
So we'll have five questions now, and we'll do five questions again in about an hour.
Five from Highland View in Greendale.
Yeah, five from Highland View. Question number one.
Marty, who do you think's carrying the Brewers?
Who do I think is carrying the Brewers?
Yeah.
Definitely Christian Yelich offensively, man. He's the only guy who's really sticking on a regular basis. Christian Yelich and, of course, Zach Davies pitching. And we saw a combination of both of those guys with that win in Philadelphia yesterday. So I'm going to say, we're going to have a topic one of these days when the Bucks are done, after they're done winning the NBA title. Who is the Bucks? No. Who is the Brewers All-Star?
You know what? I thought about doing that today.
Oh. But yeah. Let's save that when the Bucks are over.
Okay, all right.
We're going to need some time because we're not going to be able to prove, the NBA draft is not going to draw any buzz with you and I.
No.
I mean, you're picking 30th or whatever the hell it's going to be. I mean, picking 10th would be a tough pick even in this draft.
All right,
picking 3rd isn't the best choice either.
A little bit of a softball. Let's go to another student in the class over at Highland View. Your turn.
Addison. How does it feel hearing yourself on the radio?
How does it feel?
I'm Chuck Freeman.
Hear yourself on the radio.
God, I hate hearing myself. I do. I listen to our podcast, but I don't listen to it because I like an ego thing or that. I just hear some of the stuff that you and I do and how we get better because we're always looking to prove. Everybody is always trying to prove. Actors try to, Clint Eastwood always tries to get better. But I think that, I don't like listening to my voice. I don't. I hate listening to my voice.
I'm getting better with it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like listening to it.
I like, to be honest, my voice to me sounds better when I listen back to it than what I'm hearing in my head right now.
Okay, see, to me it's worse. I would rather, I don't have a problem hearing you or anybody else at the radio station, but hearing myself, I just don't want to hear me.
Well, I think you sound great.
I don't want to hear me. Thanks.
Let's go to another student at Highland View Elementary. Your turn.
My name's Courtney, and what's your favorite part about the job?
Oh, what's your favorite part about your job?
Oh, you know, I mean, like today. Today, you know, covering the Bucs game tonight, you know, doing this show. I mean, there's a question. I don't know if there's one. What's the worst part of the job? I mean, let's face it, getting up early in the morning is not a – you get up at 4 in the morning is not fun. But, you know, doing this show, being able to come on after a game and talk about the previous night. I mean, wish we had a show on I mean, I don't wish to come in here Saturday morning at 6 a.m., but if it would be great, you know, if we had a show. We could talk about game two. Yeah, coming here the night after an exciting event like tonight would be great.
Yeah, Monday's going to be weird because we'll have two games to talk about.
Yeah, oh yeah, but I mean, pretty much Friday night's game will be in the bed. We'll be talking mostly Sunday because Sunday's the Sunday will be the turning point of the series. Because if the Bucks win tonight and they win on Sunday,
so we'll just not really talk about game two?
Yeah, I think Friday will kind of be buried by then, unless something really weird happens. But
like on Monday when we talk Brewers, we talk more about Sunday's game than Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, Sunday's the turning point of the series. Game three is, you know, that either tells you somebody's back in it or they're going home. And Sunday, Toronto will either be back in the series or go home if the Bucks win tonight.
All right, let's go to, I believe, the young man over there. His name is Sebastian.
My name's Sebastian. Have you ever met some of the best soccer players in the world right now?
Oh, wow.
Oh, Sebastian. Mom definitely named you Sebastian. You know, some of these kids, the names.
What's wrong with Sebastian?
Oh, the kid name was Sebastian in my neighborhood growing up in Greendale. He'd be beaten up.
Come on.
Sebastian. Sebastian's, I'm sure, is a good kid.
Sebastian, isn't he the little lobster guy on Little Mermaid?
Hey, I mean, let's face it. I mean, guys, by age, you know that. If a kid was named Sebastian in your neighborhood, you'd be making fun of. And I know it's bullying. I know it's bad. But, I mean, that's, you know, the 70s. That's, you know, there were no Sebastians.
Chuck, I was going to send a copy of this segment to the kids over at that school. And now I can't.
No, just cut this part out. No, it's a different world. It's a different world. Sebastian's a good game. Sebastian, I forgot. What is Sebastian? Oh, soccer players I've met. I work with one every day for 4 hours.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I work with one for 4 hours every day. I did a soccer show. I did a segment on a soccer show, which I told you about once before, called Milwaukee Wave Soccer Weekly, where I would go around and do the U-12 Brookfield team. It was just a way to get on TV in 1994. So
good for you.
Yes, thanks.
Putting you over again. One more question from Henry.
I'm Henry, and how much money do you make?
Oh!
Enough to drive an Impala. How about that?
You know what? I did the math, and I said, go home and find out what Giannis makes, and then divide that by 0.000002 or something.
Oh, that little?
And then you'll know how much money I make.
Yeah. We make enough. We make enough. Make enough to make another trip maybe to Oakland Euros later today.
I make enough that I thank God my wife has a better paycheck than me.
Well, that's the case. And sometimes in this broadcast business, you hope that the wife makes more money than you.
So those were a few questions from some kids over at Highland View. We'll have a few more kids step up to the plate to ask the illustrious Chuck Freeman in about an hour.
I like it. I like it.
Got to talk more about the Bucks. Yesterday, the anniversary of a very important event. And also, there's something that I've been keeping a secret, Chuck, that I need to get off my chest with you.
Oh?
Yeah.
All right. When's that?
That's next.
All right.
Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.